Do you realize that any person who looks at Jesus of Nazareth as being only a man can never know the truth about him? I am the light of the world. These are the words that the Lord Jesus spoke when he was describing his mission here upon earth. You will remember in the opening of John's Gospel, when we were studying that some weeks ago, you'll remember how in the first chapter we saw that the Word was with God and the Word was God, and that this Word was the light of men. And then he went on to speak about John the Baptist saying he was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. Now in John's Gospel, John quotes the Lord Jesus as using this very phrase again. I am the light of the world. Our particular study today is in the 8th chapter, in verses 12 to 20. And you might have the Bible open at that point and be looking at it. Even while I'm speaking, you might let your eyes scan over that passage. John chapter 8, verse 12 through verse 20. In the verse 12, the Lord Jesus said, Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And so on. Now, when he says the word light, I am the light of the world, perhaps we might do well to stop and think for a moment, what would that mean? What does light do when he says, I am the light of the world? Well, the first thing that light does, it reveals. Whatever there is in a room will show up if there's light. Whatever there is in your yard, you can see when there's light. Whatever there is in a barn, you can find out if you turn on the light. Whatever you might see in a great big warehouse, you can see if you turn on the light. Perhaps you're talking to somebody in the dark, and you turn on the light, you'll be able to see him. In other words, the light is it reveals. It doesn't add anything to the situation. It simply reveals, it exposes the situation as it is. Now, the Bible uses the word in one place, manifest. Light maketh manifest. Well, that's the same idea. It shows things out. It shows the real truth. When the Lord Jesus says, I am the light of the world, he is saying, I am in myself what shows the real truth of life in this world. So what we really are being challenged to consider here is that in Jesus Christ is the true meaning of the creation. You really want to understand living in this world? You're going to have to look at Jesus of Nazareth. And this brings something to your mind. If you look at Jesus of Nazareth, now let me say what you'll find out here. If you look at Jesus of Nazareth, you will be looking at one who came into this world to die in order that he might be raised from the dead. This points to the real truth. And the real truth is that the physical world is not the final stage of God's work. Something else comes after the physical. The physical is first. The natural comes first. But the natural is to die. The physical is to die and to be raised from the dead by the power of God into newness of life. And this is the truth of God's plan so far as the whole universe is concerned. When God made the whole world, he didn't make the whole world with the idea that the world was to be like you see it in the physical world, and there'll be the trees and the flowers and the birds and all the things of the earth and the sea and the sky, and there'll be people, and they'll all be nice, and it'll just be like living down here forever and so on, and you'll have friends, and you'll have nice people, and there'll be no fussing, and there'll be everything will be just sweet and lovely and so on. That's not the picture. This world, as it is, with the flesh, actually was never designed to be the last stage. The Lord Jesus Christ was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. God, in creating the world and in making man and making him in his own image, actually, apparently, planned it in such a way that the flesh was to die and that the resurrection of the person in newness of life would bring him into the fullness of God's plan. Because, you see, when you're raised from the dead as the Lord Jesus was, then you will be able to experience what the Lord Jesus Christ himself manifested, which is that God himself will live in his creatures in the new world. Let me repeat that. God himself will live in his creatures in the new world. Now, this is the stupendous, shattering truth that is revealed in Jesus Christ. This world is not final. Even sin could not end everything here. God can raise the dead, and God will raise the dead. God can and will redeem the sinner. He can and will deliver the sinner. He's got other things in mind than this world. Now, just before the Lord Jesus said this, which you read in the 12th verse of the 8th chapter of John, in John 8:12, when you read the Lord Jesus saying, "I am the light of the world," just before this, in the two passages, in the two sections that went for before this, in chapter 6 and in chapter 7, when you read along in there, you will find that there were two major events or actions of the Lord Jesus Christ. One of them was the healing of the lame man at the pool of Bethesda, and next was the forgiving of the woman taken in adultery. What you have here is the Lord Jesus overruling the weakness of the lame man, and the Lord Jesus overruling and overcoming the sin in the woman. Because in Christ Jesus, in God's plan in him, both these aspects of human nature are left behind. In the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're beyond weakness. And in the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're beyond sin. You're actually delivered from weakness, and you're delivered from sin through the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the real truth. This is what's showing up when the light shines, and you really see the truth. After you have the healing of the lame man at the pool of Bethesda, which is an example, a type of God overcoming the weakness of the flesh, and you have the forgiving of the woman taken in adultery, where you have God overcoming the blight of sin, now comes the announcement that in Christ Jesus, who overcame in each case, where God is living in human form, this is the truth. Now, at this point, in this section that we're studying from chapter 8, from verse 12 to 20, there's a bit of an argument that follows this. The Jewish people objected about this because they said to the Lord Jesus, "You're the only one saying this." And they had a saying among them, a sort of a proverb among them, that the truth was to be established in the mouth of at least two or three witnesses. And if anything was to be established as true, at least two men should say it. And by the way, that's a very good principle. That's a very, very good principle. Let me just say to you for something on the side that you can keep with you right where you live. Generally speaking, if you hear something, and you hear it for the first time, no one else has told you, just one man tells you, one woman tells you. And if this is something striking, or especially if it is something exciting, or it may even be something that is distressing, it may be something that is actually an indictment of somebody, you know, it might even be gossip, and one person says it, don't repeat it. Simply don't repeat it. If you haven't heard it from at least two people, you can afford to leave it alone. You can think about it. You'll do have that in your mind anyway. But don't say it as the truth unless you hear it in the mouth of two or three witnesses. I say that's a good rule. As a matter of fact, I can bear witness and testimony here that my father-in-law one time gave me to understand this is a good way for interpreting Scripture. He told me if I was going along in the Bible and I came across some passage that seemed to have a special insight, and on the basis of one particular verse I saw some special line of truth, he told me, look somewhere else. Try and find another verse that'll also say it. Hunt around in Scripture until you see the same thing repeated again, and then went on to say, If you don't find it anywhere else in Scripture, you might do well not repeat it. Just keep it to yourself. It may be true, and if it is true, it'll bless you. But if you haven't seen it somewhere else, don't repeat it, because in the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. And here the Jewish people took advantage of this particular principle of theirs and pressed it on him and told him, you're the only one saying it, and it needs to be the testimony of two. Then you have our Lord's answer, which in some respect is very revealing. He said, now that what you say is true enough, although he said, in my case, I actually am telling the truth because I know and I don't need anybody to support me, but I'm not alone. I'm actually fulfilling your requirements. You say there should be two? There are two of us. I and my Father are one. I'm not alone. My Father is with me. There really are two of us all the time. And then they raised, naturally brought up this question. They said, where is thy Father? And he answered them, you neither know me nor my Father. And by the way, I want you to notice that he did not say, I and God. He didn't use the word God in a general way, as if you might say God the Creator. He used the word Father, which is God as the one who has begotten him. You see, the Father is the one who sent Jesus of Nazareth. The Father is the one who begat Jesus of Nazareth. The Father is the one who is in Jesus of Nazareth. And when you and I call him Father, we do that well when we have in mind we've been born again by the Spirit of God. In that sense, he's our Father. And that's the way the word Father should be used. So here in this passage today, we have seen the real truth of the creation of the world. The man in his flesh, as a human being naturally, is only temporary. That's not God's final ultimate purpose for man. His ultimate purpose for man is that man should be born again, indwelt by the Spirit of God, and live in the power of God. Our God and Heavenly Father, add thy blessing to us as we think on these things, and help us to understand and to appreciate the light of the world in the Lord Jesus Christ. For his name's sake we ask it. Amen.